How do we know that there is a God? If someone were to ask you at the restaurant today when you go out for lunch or brunch, tell me, how do you know there is a God? What would you say? And if there is a God, how do we know what he's like? How do we know any characteristics or qualities or attributes that this God might have? If there is a God, then it seems to me to be quite obvious that for us to be able to know that he exists and to know something about him, he needed to make himself known in ways that you and I can grasp and understand. My dear friends, the good news this morning is that's exactly what has happened. There is a God, and he has pulled back the curtain to reveal himself to our world and to you and me in three dynamic and exceptional ways. And I'd like to tell you about those three ways. God has spoken to our world and revealed himself first through creation. The nature that is around about us. I hope you were watching on the screen and listening as Lisa read Psalm 19 for us, just a few verses. But I want to highlight those verses again and draw them to your attention. Listen to what the psalmist says about creation. He says this, the heavens. He's not talking about the heaven where we're going. He's talking up there where the stars and the moon and the galaxies reside. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of God's hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. And then to make sure we're paying attention, it says now, they have no speech. So it's not like the trees and the flowers speak to us in an audible way. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Creation speaks of the fact that there is a God. You say, how so? Suppose you were to go to a museum and view, as Jeanette and I did recently when we were in Italy, some of the beautiful paintings of people like Michelangelo and some others. And you gaze upon these beautiful paintings. The obvious response when you see a beautiful painting like that is to say, wow, what an amazing painter. What an amazing artist that is behind this painting. It didn't happen by accident. Nothing blew up and then it existed on the wall. An artist formed and fashioned it carefully and deliberately. You walk into a library and see tomes of books, and you immediately know that behind those books is a hard-working author. Well, here's the point. When you and I look out upon creation, if we really dwell there on the sunsets and the sunrises and the majestic mountains we are so privileged to see every day of our life, and the deep valleys and the mysterious desert, it should cause an individual to say, wow, what a design. That means there's a designer. How can I know this designer? What does creation reveal about God? Well, definitely it reveals that he's powerful, right? In fact, may I shock you for a few moments this morning? Did you know that Genesis says that when God created the world, he did it by speaking it into existence? What, you say? Oh, yes. In the beginning, God said, and it was. Now, what's the process? I don't care. After he spoke, what took place that brought it? I don't know. But I know that he spoke, and what he spoke came into being. That's a powerful God, that he can speak. And then it happens. We also know that he's wise. When we begin to understand the intricate ways in which our world operates, day in and day out, without a glitch, it so operates smoothly that now our weather people can predict the weather a week in advance because it's just a smooth operating universe. He's wise. Your body, the psalmist said, you're fearfully, you're wonderfully made. Just think about how the body functions. It's a wise creator. Creation also tells us that this God, who is powerful and wise, is glorious in splendor, in beauty, and in variety. Why? Because look at the splendor and the beauty and the variety of all of creation. But there's also something very important you need to know, that creation revealing God, the Creator, also means that humankind is without excuse. We think of people who just don't know anything about God. Oh, time out. There are some ways in which some people can find about God. And God tells us that when they recognize his presence, he'll do the rest through his sovereignty. In Romans, let me read it for you. Romans chapter 1, Paul said it this way. Listen carefully. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the foundation, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made known, so that people are without excuse. Yes, you and I, when we encounter nature, we become so familiar with nature, we get dulled. But when we encounter nature, we are seeing one of the ways in which God has made himself known. Now, I must tell you that there are some things that creation does not tell us about God. So in a very real sense, creation by itself is limited. In fact, the theologians call the revelation of God through creation general revelation. It's general in the sense of it's for everybody, regardless. It's right out there. If you just pause and think and ponder, you can experience God in creation. But there's got to be something more specific, and I'll tell you why. There are things that creation and nature does not tell us about God. For instance, it doesn't tell us if this God, who is all-powerful and wise, is loving. Creation doesn't tell us, is he kind? Is he compassionate? Is he approachable? Is he forgiving? Do I matter to him? So creation reveals God, but creation falls short of fully giving us the complete picture of the God who has made himself known. We sing about this all the time when we sing, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Well, what did God do in order to compensate, if you will, or to give us a more specific revelation of himself? That's the second way in which God has made himself known. Why? He speaks to us and reveals himself to us through Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus into the world to make himself known. I love to read and follow a Danish philosopher who's long gone. He writes lots of parables. His name is Søren Kierkegaard. And he has written a little parable about a king. And I'd like to share that parable with you. He said, once upon a time, there was a powerful and wise king who fell in love with a beautiful maiden who lived in his kingdom. This king's problem was, how do I tell her that I love her? He called in for the best of his consultants, and he asked for their advice. He wanted to do this in the best and most proper way. And of course, he hoped that as he shared his love with this maiden, that it would be cherished by her and her love would be returned. But when all his advisors came and told him what they thought he should do, he was extremely disappointed. Because every one of them counseled him in the same way. They said this. They said, show up at the maiden's house, dressed in all your royal finery. Dazzle her with your power and your presence and your riches and your splendor and your glory. Overwhelm her with expensive gifts. What girl could resist? Who would reject such an opportunity, they said, or turn away from such an honor? Who could possibly refuse a king? And if need be, you could command her to be your wife. Well, the king, being wise, was not accepting of that advice. He wanted the maiden to love him for who he was and not out of some position of power. And so the girl, in order to be won over to him, he stripped himself of his kingly garb. He took off his crown and he dressed himself in the dress of peasant and walked down the street and knocked on the door to express his love. Oh, my friends, don't you know that's exactly what Jesus did. Arrayed in splendor and glory beyond human comprehension, but he stripped it all off, laid the crown aside, descended into the stables of Bethlehem and became a peasant that he might express to you what God is like. And lo and behold, in Jesus Christ, we discover that God loves us and has demonstrated that love in the most dynamic way and invites us into a personal relationship with God. We learn that God is kind. He is full of grace. He's forgiving of everyone who will ask. We learn that in Jesus, this God came and took our punishment and paid for our sins at great cost to himself, and revealed to us in that we matter greatly to God. And then in Jesus, this God He invites us to spend eternity with him. In creation, God is there speaking loudly. In Jesus Christ, God is there in perfect portrait, perfect image, perfect description. Oh, there's a third way in which God has made himself known, which tells us about the first two. And it's very important. God speaks through creation. God speaks through Jesus. God speaks through the scriptures, the Bible. That's why the Bible is so important. Because it's the Bible that tells us about the Creator. It is the Bible that tells us of the person of Jesus Christ. And the Bible is so important that if we begin to tinker with it, and if we begin to water it, we mess up our understanding of who Jesus is. And we mess up our understanding who this God is. And we go astray. No, we must take it seriously. Oh, but you say, isn't the Bible just a human book? Oh, may I remind you? Yes, it is. But may I remind you something about Jesus that is also true about the Bible? Jesus was called the theanthropic person. Do you like that word? I paid a lot of money to learn that word, folks. You better like it. A theanthropic, what in the world does that mean? I had to throw one word out so that you'd know I've been to seminary. It means that Jesus was the God-man. As much God if he'd never been a man. As much man if he'd never been God. It's a mystery, isn't it? But it's true. He's the God-man. And none of the either of the others are diminished. He's fully divine. He's fully human. His humanity doesn't diminish his deity. His deity doesn't diminish his humanity. Isn't that amazing? Can I tell you that the Bible is a divine human book in the same way that Jesus was a divine human individual? Written by men? Yes, absolutely. Flawed, sinful, broken people like you and me? Yeah. But divine in that God superintended, watched over, guarded and guided so that what they wrote and what they gave to us is exactly what God wanted to reveal of himself in. And so we take it and we read it and we take it with sincerity because it tells us about this God. Is there a God? Yes, indeed there is. And we can see him in nature. We find him in Jesus. And we read about him in Holy Scripture. Ralph Carmichael, who during my day as a young buck was a great Christian songwriter. He did some other things too, but he's written some great Christian songs. And when he became converted to Jesus Christ, he wanted to write a little song that was kind of like his autobiography. And when I was in college, we used to sing this in chapel. I'm not going to sing it for you, so relax. But this is what he says, and I think it wraps up what I've been talking to you about this morning. He wrote these words, "In the stars, his handiworks I see. On the wind, he speaks with majesty. Though he ruleth over land and sea, what is that to me? I will celebrate nativity, for it has a place in history. Sure, he came to set his people free, but what is that to me?" And here it goes. "Till by faith I met him face to face, and I felt the wonder of his grace. Then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care, that lived away out there. Now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching o'er me lest I stray, helping me to find the narrow way. He's everything to me. Is he everything to you this morning? Do you know this God who has made himself known in the heavens and in the mountains, in the desert, in the beauty of creation? Do you know this God who sent Jesus to let us know what he's like? Do you know this Jesus that Scripture proclaims? I know you do. If there's one of you here that doesn't, don't leave the room until you invite in a silent little prayer in your heart, "Oh God, I want to know you. I give my heart to you right now, and I want to take you home with me so that you too can watch over me lest I stray, helping me to find the narrow way." Would you pray with me, please? Oh God, thank you. Thank you for making yourself known, for revealing your presence, your existence, your might, your power, your mercy, your love, your grace. We are your children here this morning. We've come here to sing of your praise. We've come here to magnify you. We've come here to extol you because you're worthy. God, come into our lives. Fill us with your Spirit. Take us out into the world to let your light shine through us so that others will see God at work, yes, even in us. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.